Welcome to The Chief Point, a radio ministry of the Church in Chicago. The name of this program is taken from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Here the writer directed his readers to focus on the main thought or essence of a particular section of the word. He writes that in all that is being said, there is a chief point. We encourage you to listen, follow along with your Bible, and ask yourself, what is the chief point? During this program, our phone lines will be open for questions, fellowship, or prayer. Feel free to give us a call at 773-478-0550. Let's begin our program tonight by opening our hearts to the Lord as we listen.
Good evening, and welcome to The Chief Point, a radio ministry of the Church in Chicago. My name is Frank Pytel, and with me tonight is Jim Ritzky. Welcome, Jim.
Good evening, Frank.
Before we begin tonight, Jim, I would like to let all our listeners know that this radio ministry now has a website called thechiefpoint.org. If you would like to listen or read any programs that you may have missed, you can find them at thechiefpoint.org. Okay, let's begin our program tonight. Tonight we would like to consider with our listeners three more aspects of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. As you recall, we have seen that when God justified us through faith in Jesus Christ, we received the Spirit into us. Secondly, the Spirit we received was the beginning or start of our Christian life. Also, the one we need throughout our entire Christian life for us to reach God's goal. And then thirdly, Jim, we saw what a wonderful Spirit we have received. And he is described in the book of Galatians chapter 3 as a Spirit of bountiful supply. Whatever our spiritual needs are, he is always with us to meet those needs. He himself is our patience, comfort, strength, wisdom, power, and much more. Whatever we need, he is. And tonight, Jim, we hope to see in the book of Galatians more aspects of the Spirit. Maybe you can tell us what we're going to see tonight.
Right, Frank. We'd like to see that the Spirit is the one that gives birth to sons of God. Also, the Spirit is the one that leads us in our daily walk. And thirdly, the Spirit is the one that bears fruit through us. Mm-hmm. Firstly, let's consider the fact that it is the Spirit who gives birth to sons of God. It's through faith and of the Spirit that we are born of God and are made sons of God. Galatians 3:26 tells us this, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." In the Gospel of John 3, verses 6 and 7, it mentions, "That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You must be born again."
Mm-hmm. Galatians 3:26, it's through faith that we're sons. And John 3:6, it's of the Spirit. Everyone that is born into the world, Jim, is a son of Adam. But by faith in Christ, we are transferred out of Adam and we are put into Christ. Through faith, we have a change in parentage. Once we were all sons of Adam with the common condition of death. Now, Jim, we are the sons of God and have been made alive with the life of God. You know, Jim, in 1 Corinthians 15:26, Paul expresses our common history. This is what he says, "For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." So a person's condition can be one of life or death. And this is depending on his birth. It depends on who is his father.
You know, in society, it matters whether one is a bank president or a bank robber. Mm-hmm. Yes, it matters morally. But as far as God is concerned, it's a matter of life or death. The critical issue is, who is our father? Is our father God, or is our father Adam? The Spirit we have received into our spirit is the Spirit of God's Son. Galatians 4:6 says, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into us. Mm-hmm. Also we read in Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God.
You know, Jim, a proof that we are the true sons of God is an ability we have to address God as our Father. Many today, when you ask them about God, they'll say, God is the Creator, or God is the Almighty One. Or even some would say, he's a higher power or a force. But a true son of God has an intimate relation with God. And this is not the same as an adoptive child or an adoptive father, or neither the same as a father-in-law. As a true son of God, we can call God our Father. And this is shown in Galatians 4:6. It says, the Spirit of His Son is in us, and it's crying, Abba, Father.
We see this in the Lord's instructions concerning prayer. Mm-hmm. How should we address God in prayer? The Lord said clearly in Matthew 6:9, pray this way, our Father. He didn't even say address God as my Father, mm-hmm. but as our Father. Also, when the Lord was about to ascend to the Father, He met Mary, and He said to Mary, go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. But before His death and resurrection, He could only address His disciples as their friend.
Mm-hmm. You know, this intimate relationship, Jim, we have with the Father is expressed in many hymns in our hymn book. And a couple of the hymns, one is written by Alex Carruthers. He wrote, we bless Thee, God and Father, we joy before Thy face. Beyond dark death forever, we share Thy Son's blessed place. And in verse 2 it says, His Father and our Father, His God and ours Thou art. He is Thy beloved, the gladness of Thy heart. Verse 3 says, we are His. In joy He brings us to share His part and His place, to know Thy love and favor, the shining of His face. Jim, as a son of God now, we're sharing the Son's joy with the Father. We share the Son's place with the Father. And it's so precious that this is why we can call God Abba, Father.
Right beside the hymn by Alex Carruthers, we have another hymn that expresses a similar sentiment. It goes this way, 'Tis thy children's bliss to know thee. None but children, Abba, say. This high honor we inherit, thy free gift through Jesus' blood. God the Spirit with our spirit witnesseth we're sons of God.
It's so wonderful, Jim, to be born of the Spirit through faith. This is the beginning of the Christian life, and this is the beginning of a relationship with God as our Father. But we want to go on to see that the Spirit not only is the one who gives us birth, because we'd all admit that it's not enough merely to give birth to a child. As a child develops after birth, parents are happy when they see their child begin to walk. Initial steps by the child require support by the parents, but eventually the child is on his or her own. Jim, even last week we had a gospel meeting here, and there was five people that expressed their faith in Christ, and they were baptized. And this is really a beginning where we can say that they now have God as their Father. But as ones who were seeing this happen, we know that this is not the end. We need to support them until they can walk by the Spirit on their own.
Right. We need the Spirit for our birth, but we also need the Spirit for our daily walk, for the leading of our walk. Now, in the history of God's people, the law was important. It was a necessary support during their time of immaturity under the Old Testament. The behavior of God's people in the Old Testament was dictated by the law. The law told God's people what they should do, what they should not do, how they should act, how they should not act. All this, the law was important for God's people. Mm-hmm. But now the word under the new covenant is not walk by the law, but walk by the Spirit. This is clearly stated for us in Galatians 5:16.
Jim, the law was outside of us, but now the Spirit is within us. We have received the Spirit for our Christian walk, and we have taken initial steps by the Spirit. The Spirit is in us to supply us and guide us in our walk. And our walk includes what we do and what we say. The Spirit is within us, and what we do and what we say is by the Spirit within us. We shouldn't be bothered so much by our failures, our weaknesses, or our shortcomings, because the Spirit is in us for all our needs.
Paul in Galatians 5:18 said, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." The law again includes outward regulations, rules, and observances. The Spirit is the one that we need to follow now. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is a characteristic of God's Son, is that they follow the Spirit, not the law. In Romans 8:14, Paul says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. A son of God is led by the Spirit of God."
Amen. In addition to being led by the Spirit, Galatians also says that we should live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. So we have the leading of the Spirit, but we also have the walk of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Jim, when you read the King James Version, or most versions, the word walk is used many times. But the word walk in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5 is a different word from the word walk in verse 25. And maybe you can share something.
Right. The word walk by the Spirit in verse 16 refers to the Christian's walk in his daily life. The word walk by the Spirit in verse 25 refers to an ordered walk, a walk in a regulated way under restrictions. This word was used for a movement in an orderly manner, such as in a military formation. A soldier surely has to walk and behave differently from that of a civilian. Especially in time of conflict, a soldier has to walk with care in a circumspect manner. He has to walk orderly, be alert to the enemy and to the enemy's strategy. The Greek word for walk in verse 16 is peripateo, and the word for walk in verse 25 is stoikeo. Our peripateo walk, according to the Spirit, is a walk that lives Christ and exhibits Christ in our daily living. The stoikeo walk, on the other hand, this walk, according to the Spirit, has the enemy in view and needs the armor and the other members of Christ's body as fellow soldiers.
You know, it's interesting, Jim, that you bring this word as it seems as there's a battle going on, and throughout the book of Galatians, there's a conflict implied when you come to a spiritual conflict with Satan, our enemy. You read in chapter 4, verse 29, it's the one that was born according to the flesh is persecuting. The persecuting indicates a conflict. In chapter 5, verse 16 and 24, there's the flesh with the lusts, even the passions and the lusts. And in chapter 5, verse 17, the flesh opposes like an enemy. You can see there's a real battle going on in the Christian life. And look in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "A brother can be overtaken by surprise or even overpowered before he can escape." So this is a real opening up to see that there's a battle in the Christian life. And it says the works of the flesh, in chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, describe man corrupted by Satan's nature. So we need to see that there's a real battle going on in the book of Galatians, and this is why we need these two walks. Jim, we're going to stop here, and we're going to return in a few minutes. And we're going to come back with the third aspect of the Spirit for sowing in order to bear fruit versus the sowing of the flesh. So stay with us and we'll be right back.
Looking for a Bible? Come to Chicago Bibles and Books right off the Kennedy Expressway on the northwest side of Chicago. We carry everything from the smallest, thinnest Bibles to ones with the largest print. We have Bibles in many versions in over 25 languages. Whether you need a study Bible for yourself or a gift Bible for a friend or relative, we can help you find just the right one. Come see us at Chicago Bibles and Books, 3931 West Irving Park Road, or give us a call at 773-478-0550. You can also visit us at our website at biblesandbooks.com.
Welcome back to our program, The Chief Point. Before we continue tonight, I would like to remind our listeners that this radio program is a ministry of the church in Chicago. Tonight we are also offering a special gift booklet for anyone who calls. If you call us, we would be happy to send you this little gift, and our phone number is 773-478-0550. Finally, we would like to mention that if you are enjoying this fellowship, you are invited to join us on the Lord's Day morning at 10 a.m. We have fellowship in the Word every Sunday morning in four different languages, in Spanish, Chinese, Korean, as well as English. We have a new meeting place right off the Kennedy Expressway at Irving Park Road in Pulaski at 3915 West Irving Park Road, and you are welcome to join us. If you enjoy this fellowship on this program, we would like to hear from you. Tonight, if you have any questions or fellowship, or you would just like us to pray with you, give us a call at 773-478-0550. Well, Jim, we want to continue. We still have one more aspect of the Spirit we want to cover tonight. We saw already, firstly, that we are born of the Spirit. And then, as Christians, not only we are born of the Spirit, but we also are led by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. Tonight, lastly, we would like to consider the aspect of the Spirit, the Spirit for sowing in order to bear fruit of the Spirit.
On one hand, Frank, the Christian life is one of walking by the Spirit and following the Spirit, both in daily life and in spiritual warfare. On the other hand, the Christian life is a sowing in order to bear fruit. Mm-hmm. Every Christian is a sower, and every Christian is a reaper. Both the nature of sowing and the result of the sowing can be of two kinds.
In Galatians 6:8, Paul says, "For he who sows unto his own flesh will reap corruption of the flesh, but he who sows unto the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life." This is the two sowings that you said, Jim. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, Paul itemizes the nature of the fruit that results from a sowing to the Spirit. As we sow to the Spirit, fruit is born. And these are nine different items Paul lists here, and this includes love, joy, peace, and so on. And these are all attributes of the divine life.
Right, these are attributes of the divine life. These are attributes of God Himself. But in contrast, in the same chapter, in verses 19 to 21, Paul mentions the works, the fruit that is, that results from sowing to the flesh, another kind of sowing. This sowing to the flesh, as you look over those particular characteristics, are just a description of the fallen nature of man, which has been corrupted by Satan.
You know, every Christian, Jim, is a sower. Either we sow to the Spirit or we sow to the flesh. And each sowing will reap a harvest. This is a very sobering word, Jim. Just as sure as we are all sowing, so we will all be reaping. You know, from the writings of Witness Lee and on his commentary on Galatians, we have this matter about sowing. Let me read it to you, Jim. It says, "To sow unto the Spirit means to sow with a view to accomplishing the purpose of the Spirit. This is to have the Spirit as our goal. The Spirit should not only be our life and walk, but also the goal of our living. With the flesh, it is the same. Our goal is either one or the other. It cannot be anything else. Sowing unto the Spirit includes calling on the Lord, praying, ministering Christ to others, and fellowshipping so that others may enjoy life from us. Isn't that a good quote, Jim?
That's an excellent quote, Frank. Then right after Paul's word on sowing in verse 10, he mentions the household of faith, which is all the believers on the earth. What is the relationship of sowing to the household of faith? The sowing has very much to do with other believers.
Mm-hmm.
If we sow according to the Spirit, that will affect the believers in one way. Mm-hmm. If we sow according to the flesh, that will affect the believers in another way. If we see this, we will surely desire to sow to the Spirit as the goal of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Then there will be a harvest of eternal life to be reaped. This will benefit ourselves, our families, the church, and also the churches.
Mm-hmm. So tonight, Jim, the chief point is this. The Spirit we have received through faith has begotten us as sons of God. The Spirit is leading us in our daily life, and the Spirit is for us to sow and bear fruit to enlarge the house of God, the household of the faith. You know, Jim, after we fellowship this tonight, I think we need to apply this. And there's a question, I think, among a lot of Christians, and maybe we can help our listeners tonight. We saw that there's fruit in Galatians 5, but also in the book of the Gospel of John, there is also fruit. And maybe tonight we can look at these two chapters and compare them a little bit about the fruit. Maybe you can start by reading a couple of verses there in John, Jim.
Let's look at chapter 15 of John, verse 4. It reads this way, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." This shows a wonderful relationship between the believer and the Lord himself. In Galatians, it stressed the believer and the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But in John, it stresses the relationship between the believer and the Lord. This is really the same relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is saying in John chapter 15 that he needs the branches for him to bear fruit. He said, we need to abide in him. He is there, the vine. As the branches abide in the vine so that they can bear fruit for the vine.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jim, this chapter mentions fruit many times. It says more fruit, much fruit. But verse 16 will help us a lot. It says the fruit should remain. But to contrast Galatians 5 talks about us as sons of God, having the character of the sons of God, the characteristic of the sons of God, and expression of the Spirit. But here in John 15:16, when it talks about fruit, it uses the word to go. So in John 15, the fruit that has been worked into us, which is just the Spirit himself, we need to go forth. We need to tell others. We need to tell our families, we need to tell our colleagues, we just need to be ones that are constantly going forth to bear fruit, not just the fruit as a characteristic that we are sons of God, but the fruit that will bring others to make them a branch in this vine. Tonight, Jim, I would just challenge all of our listeners that if they have never borne fruit in this way, I would say they need to tell the Lord, they need to pray to the Lord, Lord, this year, from today on, give me one person that I can be fruit to you. Maybe we can conclude this way. Jim, you can just pray for our listeners and pray that the gospel can go forth.
Lord, we certainly want to see others born to be sons of God, having the life and characteristics of God himself. We also would like to see that we are not only having the life and nature of God, but that life and nature would get into others.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray that others, through a word from us, could find you as the Savior in their life, as the one to not only redeem them by your precious blood, but to regenerate them and make them sons of God, having also the same life and nature as we have.
Tune in again next week as we continue our Bible study and discussion on The Chief Point, a radio ministry of the Church in Chicago. If you enjoyed the program tonight, we would like to hear from you. For questions, discussion, or simply to pray, our lines are now open at 773-478-0550. Again, 773-478-0550.